Talk About on Radio Kerry with Deirdre Walsh.
Good afternoon and a warm welcome to you all. I hope I find you all in good form. This is Deirdre Walsh with you on Talk About until 3 o'clock this afternoon. And before we start and get down to business, we are going to talk about the newly published volume of the 2023 Guinness Book of World Records. Now, when I was growing up, there was always great excitement when a Guinness Book of Records appeared in the house, usually around Christmas. And I remember as a child, the first thing I wanted to know was who was the tallest man in the world. And there was always fascinating photographs of a woman who had the longest nails in the world. But of course, there's so much more to the Guinness Book of Records than things like that. And people all over the world go to all kinds of extreme lengths to get into the Guinness Book of Records by sporting feats and by climbing mountains and running distances and doing all sorts of amazing and sometimes wacky things. But the Hixon family from West Kerry, you've probably heard us speaking about them before on the programme in this context, they were really surprised and delighted to discover that they had made it into the most recent Guinness Book of World Records. And what it is a segment within the book acknowledging the fact that so many members of the one family hold so many Guinness World Records. So I'll just read this out to you. Eamon Hixon has 8. Jason Hixon has 5 and Sandra Hixon has 3. And there are other family members as well, including Sandra's partner, Nathan, and friends of the family as well, who have got in on the fun with various Guinness World Records. I thought this was incredible that a Kerry family would get a whole segment of the newest Guinness World Record book devoted exclusively to them. So I caught up earlier with Jason Hixon, who's a farmer based in Aunascall. And I began by asking him, was he delighted to see his name and those of his siblings in the latest edition?
It's kind of surreal, really, because, you know, when we grew up, every year at Christmas time, we'd have the Guinness World Record book at home, and we're always just scanning through it. And we just, it was kind of a bit of a joke years ago, wouldn't it be deadly to be in it? And, like, to see it now, to see Sandra's name there last year and then to see a picture of the three of us and Sandra's partner in it is it's just quite amazing. It actually doesn't even seem real, like, because it is just pretty amazing.
And how did it all start off? Who was the first person to get in from the family to get into the book?
Well, it was Sandra in 2021, but it actually originally started with Eamon in 2014 when he did the first record reversing a tractor and trailer from Dingletown and Skull. And when he did that, then he was kind of pushing a few of the family members to try to do a few more records. And then when we started building up the numbers and getting more and more, it was kind of a discussion one night. He was like, geez, if we keep going here, there's actually a chance as a family, like, that we'll get in for setting a certain number of records, or eventually one of our records, whichever one it may be, might be picked out and our name might be getting mentioned. So when Sandra got mentioned in for her record, our name were put beside her, the buzz was just unbelievable. We'd have played a lot of big football matches and stuff down through the years, especially me and Eamon, put a lot of time into and got a great kick out of. But this, you know, as a family, was just something else.
Yeah, absolutely. And so is your record now that you are the family of siblings with the most records? Is that the new record?
You know, I'm not even too sure. It was just, we got a segment for ourselves, which, it was just cool to be recognised as one family. There's plenty of families we'd follow quite a few on Instagram across Europe that would have a lot of records as well. So I don't really want to go comparing to them.
Exactly. What I always wondered, though, is that how can they tell that it's real? How can they authenticate it? Do they send somebody over to Ireland to watch you do this and to make sure that you did it correctly and that you did set that record?
So where Eamon is the main person in this, because it's a lot of organising. A lot of people might be able to get very close to a record or maybe beat a record, but no one sees the time and an organisation that actually goes into setting up. It's all about cameras, you're doing a weights one where just I was carrying weights around a track for 24 hours, there's a camera on the weights for the 24 hours. No one could touch the weights. Everything's weighed beforehand. The weights are weighed again afterwards. It's all live. You have so many witnesses that all have to sign their name and to prove that they were there. And for if there was any reason why they thought there was something fishy going on, they'd ring all the witnesses and they'd question them no end. And it does, as well, when your evidence is sent in, it does take about 3 months to get approved. So there is a lot of, they do really scrutinise it to make sure it was done right.
And you've done some very unusual ones. I know Sandra's one was running a mile in the fastest time with handcuffs on.
Yeah, that was one of them. It was an unusual one. It was just strange because it's just not the normal way of running, with your hands, you know, right in front of you there, maybe tucked in by your belly button, and you're trying to run. It was just so unusual, like. But yeah, it was just, we said we'd just try to do some kind of different ones, something kind of funny, because we did kind of a lot of serious ones, kind of tougher events before that.
And what's your most unusual one?
I suppose it was carrying them. Well, it wasn't unusual, but I suppose the one where people kind of thought that I had no chance of achieving it was taking 100 pounds farmer's carry. That's, everyone would know that. Anyone that goes to the gym would know that exercise. 100 pounds around on rear track in Castle Island for 24 hours. Well, it's the record was to beat 50 kilometres, and in 23 hours 19 minutes I had beaten it by 25 yards, so I left it at that. Then I really paid for it though after that. The skin, even I had gloves on, the skin didn't come back properly in my hands for 6 weeks.
Oh my God.
It was pretty, I really did pay for it, but it was well worth it. The coolest part I found about the whole thing was when I started the event on the Friday morning, some people came around 11 or 12 o'clock, they saw me walking, they went to work, they came back that evening, saw me again, and then a few people got up the following morning before they went to work again, and they came to the track around 6 o'clock in the morning and they still saw me, and I saw their reactions on their face. They could not believe I was still going, so that got me through the last few hours then.
Oh my God.
And the buzz I got after, people were just saying to me, it's like, that's like, even our trainer now in Skull, Gerard O'Shea, is just like, even said to me recently, he's like, I still think that's one of the craziest things I've ever seen. I get such a buzz out of that.
What were you carrying? Describe it for us.
They were like two long iron bars. So when I was walking with them, they'd be about maybe 3 inches off the ground. Do you know, it was kind of, years ago, it was kind of the same as for farmers taking big buckets of milk. So we kind of wanted to make it something similar, but you couldn't have it too wide. Like, so they were only about 4 inches wide. They took a bit of time to make, and they had a lovely little handle, a skinny handle on the top that was easier to grip. But what we did at the same time, we had people that maybe might have been a bit skeptical about the whole thing. We had kettlebells, and they could walk beside me for a lap or two if they wanted. And we had a few people that did do it with a slighter weight, a little bit lighter. They walked beside me for a few laps, and they could not move. And then, like, they just, you know, they were like, oh my God, I can't believe you're doing this in the middle of it. It was just, it was something else.
And, like, was there an existing record for doing that? No, or did you, you came up with the idea?
I was just giving up my job inside in Borg Warner in Tralee and to come home farming full time. And I said, I wanted to do something that kind of, you know, represents farming, like, and it took us a while to find it, but when we actually found it and we applied for it, I'd already started training, and about 3 months into training, well, obviously no one knew I was training for it, but besides the family, and all of a sudden we were expecting maybe about 30 kilometres, but then by the time Guinness World Records got back to us, they told us it was 50 kilometres, but sure, I had too much training done already, so I took the chance and I went for it, because I honestly did, only about a week or two beforehand did I really believe that I was going to beat the 50 kilometres, because I thought it was kind of out of reach a small bit, because I was trying to train football as well at the same time as carrying heavy weights back a beach in the middle of the night when no one knew I was going doing it. Like, I went through some torturous training, like, it was
good
in the
God.
Soft sand back in speech, like, and after maybe playing a football match or a soccer match that day, after a day's work, it was, but I kind of had to do it because you couldn't walk with the weights training 10 or 12 hours two or three times a week, so you'd wait until late at night until you're wrecked tired, and then start doing your training for maybe 3 hours at a time.
I think you're all a bit mad.
Yeah, maybe a small bit, but, you know, I know, just because, look, it might be another 10 years' time, we might be able to do anything like that, so
Yeah, well, that's the way to look at it. So do you reckon, are you finished now, or are there more records planned by the Hixons?
No, possibly maybe at the end of the year or start of next year, there's a few things in the pipeline, but I don't know, Eamon's giving out to me, but I don't want to do something, I don't want to do any more minute records or, you know, a couple of minute records. I really got such a kick out of the 24-hour event, so I would be looking to do something maybe for a couple of hours or something, because that's why I get real, obviously it's serious pain, but I got real enjoyment out of it at the same time.
Mm. Is the actual book, the Book of Records for 2023, is that in the shops now? Is it out already?
Yeah, it is.
Ah, no, it's a wonderful achievement. Listen, Jason, we leave it there, but well done, and we look forward to hearing your next exploits.
Yeah, thanks very much now for having me. Thank you.
And that was Jason Hixon from Onascall speaking to me earlier. Jason and his siblings, Sandra and Eamon, and some members of their extended family as well, they've had a whole segment of the brand new, hot off the press Guinness Book of Records for 2023 devoted to their exploits, because as a family they've broken so many world records. It's incredible, isn't it? It's a lovely thing to be able to tell your children and your grandchildren in the years ahead. Texter's been on to say the Hixons should give Ireland's fittest family a go. I didn't think of that actually, but you know what, maybe they should. They would certainly give it a right lash, I would imagine. The only problem being, of course, is that Eamon is no longer living in Ireland, and they'd have to persuade him to come home first of all before they could tackle that one.